Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Amen. Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sitting there thinking while she was singing that song, you know, every time we come to church, it's hard to get out of church without seeing every expression. But it is a place to come and be loved. If you go to a church, biblical church, you will leave out of there knowing that God loves you. And it's overwhelming sometimes. Going along with the message this morning, I have to ask myself, do I demonstrate to Him my love for Him as much as He demonstrates His to me? Amen. Church, a relationship with God is not a one-way street. It's reciprocated. Amen. Deuteronomy, we're not in our study this morning, the fruit of the Spirit, obviously. Deuteronomy chapter 4, and I want to read verse 26. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now we realize Deuteronomy is the what? Who said that? Who said it? Thank you, Andrew. It is the second giving of the law. God gave the law. The law was just a schoolmaster. It was just a teacher to get them to understand how much God loved us. And I remember one time saying to one of my children after putting the law down, I love you. And he said, there's two of them, so you don't know which one. I don't know about that. Doesn't seem like it. And I said it will one day. You'll understand it. I know today we're living in a day where it's hard. I think I mentioned the verse of Scripture last week where Jesus fed the multitude. He provided food and miracles and everything. He gave them a meal and a miracle. And then when he got ready to give the message, it was, whew, man, this is a hard saying. Who can receive it? And they all began one by one to walk away. It was fine as long as there was a meal. In a difficult day and age, it was fine as long as there was a miracle. Yeah, man, we'll stay here forever. And he opened up the scriptures. All of a sudden, they just started leaving one by one. It was a hard saying. It is, really, but it's a schoolmaster. It brings us to a place where we understand, wow. I mean, I hope I do my part every time I come to the pulpit that when you leave out of here, you ought to have a greater, can I just use the word love? You ought to see, I mean, that's the verse of Scripture right there. Sir, we would see Jesus. I hope that when we come to church, we can see Him. The way here, we ought to be able to see Him. The seasons even demonstrate to us that there is a resurrected Savior. Winter's coming. And things will die. My spirit dies. And then springtime comes in June. And we see a resurrection, don't we? We see things coming out of the ground. And so He's always demonstrating Himself. I say this often, God demonstrates Himself to us daily. I don't know if we look for His demonstration. So Deuteronomy is the second chance, if you will. Hey, I gave this to you the first time to show you how much I love you. And man, you just died in the wilderness. And some people do. You know the people that are dying in churches are the ones that just can't open up their eyes and see how much God loves them. Failure in church is not somebody else. Failure in church is you not seeing God. We can blame it on all different kinds of things, but if there's anybody here that's been church hurt, and not just me, it's any pastor that pastors a church for any length of time will be church hurt. You don't see them. Well, I was going to say you don't see them, but a lot of them do. They just get tired of it. But that should never affect you. Elijah almost got off course. Jeremiah almost got off course because of what he saw in other people. And then he realized who he was really supposed to be looking for. Amen? So it's the second giving of the law. They died off, and God said, okay, let's, you know, him and Moses had a lot of conversations. I've said often, man, could you imagine if God and Moses got mad at the same time? And this is Moses really telling the people of Israel, I'm not going into the promised land. And the law will never get you to the promised land. Joshua will. Isn't it amazing how the little stories in the Bible just link up with scriptural truth? I've said this many times, there's not a doctrine in Scripture that you can't find a demonstration of it in Scripture. Joshua, who is a picture of Yeshua, Jesus, he's the one that took them into the promised land. Moses couldn't go in. The law will never take you to heaven, no matter how much you keep it. Jesus came and told them. That lawyer came to Jesus and said, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, keep the commandments. Oh, I've done them since I was a youth. He said, good, good. I'm glad you did. Don't not keep them. Keep them. But he says, I tell you what, take everything you got, sell it, and go give it to the poor. See, he was asking, he wasn't asking him literally to do that, but it would be a demonstration where your love is. Are you willing to do that? And so we're here. Moses isn't going to get to go in, but he begins to express and explain to the children of Israel something. And I want to pick up in verse 26, chapter 4 of Deuteronomy, chapter 26. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that ye shall soon, with some encouraging words from Moses. It's my famous, come see me in 5 months and see how it all turned out for you. I say that often. I have people a lot of times, you know, God gets blamed for a lot of things. We say, well, the Lord just impressed upon my heart, and we make all these decisions. Proverbs tells us about decisions. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. If you don't have a scripture verse for the path you're going in, then you might be doing it in the flesh. And so Moses begins to tell them when they're getting ready to go into the promised land. He said, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land. Started off with a negative, not a positive. Ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Moses, thank you for the encouragement. Man, I appreciate you. Would you wave to us as we leave as well? Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. Great goodness, Moses. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. That's really encouraging. Thank you for the exhortation. Verse 28, he says, and there ye shall serve gods, little g, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear, nor eat nor smell. And I don't want to, for sake of time, express how many idols we worship that can't see, they can't hear, they can't eat, they can't smell, but boy, they get us off track, don't they? Verse 29, the but. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. Man, isn't that encouraging? He started off with the negative. He said, this is what's out there today. This is what you're going to face. There's no good story about it. You know, I thought as soon as I got saved, man, that solved all the problems. No, that just started them. But I found out that I don't have to go through those problems by myself. That's what the joy was. He's telling us out there. I mean, can I just pause for a second? I don't know if anybody else is concerned about what's taking place in our world today. How people can just walk up to somebody else and stab them, punch them. I mean, I just saw one the other day, a guy with a 2x4 with nails in it, just walked up to somebody and just hit him in the side of the head with it. That's the tension that is taking place in the society that we live in. That's what's and nobody's immune to it. And nobody's immune to it. It's from every facet possible. It doesn't matter about the color of your skin. It doesn't matter. It's happening from all different angles. Just go somewhere and it's happening. And you say, man, what am I? How am I supposed to survive that? I'm supposed to survive it by having a heavenly Father that will lead me and guide me and direct me and take care of me and provide for me and watch over me. He said, this is what you're fixing to enter into. And if you do it all by yourself and you don't seek me, then guess what? You will soon find failure. And can I say, as a pastor of a church, these pews would be full today if people heeded that message right there. But too many people, that's why I say it all the time. Call it sarcastic, call it unnecessary, call it whatever. Do it your way. It goes back to maybe a carnal illustration, but sometimes we don't understand the spiritual ones. The old Days of Thunder with what's his name? Old Tom Cruise got out there watching it on TV, ESPN, drove. He said, you do 40 laps with those tires your way. Then you do 40 laps with the tires my way, and we'll see how much tread's left on them afterwards. And it's the same premise here. Go do it your way, see how it works out. I've watched people come back to church, leave for a while, come back, leave for a while, come back, leave. There's been people here started out as teenagers, leave, pregnant, come back, leave, pregnant, come back, leave, pregnant, come back. How's that success? And so we take an Old Testament story, it becomes a New Testament reality. Can you do it on your own? Can you even breathe on your own if it wasn't for God? He says, but if from thence, from this moment forward, he said, thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. I've said it many a times. I come to church, I wake up daily, and I'm looking for him. And he can be found sometimes in some of the most remote, hidden places. I shared recently with just Arnell how much Arnell, you know, I'm not being mean when I say this. Some of y'all can come up to me and suck the ever-living life out of me. Is that okay? And I have to go to Moses and I said, Moses, thank you. I'm thankful I don't pastor with a staff. I'm thankful that none of y'all are asking for water. You know the story, right? They asked for water, and Moses said, I'm going to give them water. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's beating on that rock, man. And Moses, and God said, all you had to do is speak to it. Yeah, the speaking's over, God. And I shared an illustration, as simple as it may be, Arnell. Every time I came to church, man, there he was, smile on his face. Hey, pastor. He didn't tell me any problems, and he had so many. He didn't share all of his difficulties with me, and he had so many. He didn't share all of his disappointments with me, and he had so many. He'd just come up, and he was happy to see me. He'd sit there and say something to me. We'd do the high five and everything else. You know what that was? That's God. Amazing sometimes the people that can have it the most difficult can be the most joyful. He said, so when you go into this promised land that is just infested with nothing but trouble, you'll find him if you seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto them. Father, we'd ask you to help us today. I pray, Lord, that I can articulate the thought that you've placed in my heart today, Lord. Help us to see you clearer, love you more sincerely, and share you so much more genuinely than we do. I plead this morning in Christ's name. We pray and ask these things. I want to pause, if I can, this morning, our study of the fruit of the Spirit, probably more so for my sake than yours. You know, I get something, I find a nugget in the Bible, and I think, man, if I share this, maybe it'll do for somebody else what it's done for me. And so again, I try my best to put everything I can into the cup, and then every so often it flows over into the saucer, and I hate to be selfish this morning, but you get what's in the saucer. You don't get what's in the cup. Only Ellie gets what's in the cup. And every time I have a cup in my office, she comes in and steals it with what's ever in the cup. I think it's because mom and dad are keeping from her what's in a cup anyways. I want to pause the study of the fruit of the Spirit this morning. I want to look at a topic that caught my attention this week as I was studying. I came across a phrase. I find myself many times in my own personal studies. I do word studies, you know, word. You know, the Bible says we're to meditate. That doesn't mean get in a yoga position and that's to take something from the Word of God and to think about it, meditate upon it. And so many times I will meditate, if you will, on a word. I'll take a word in the Bible that just stands out and I'll look at all the rest. Isn't it wonderful that we have the tools to that somebody's already laid down and put every word on a computer? When I first got a Strong's Concordance, I thought I'd died and gone to heaven, man. Every word, you mean if I have a word that I'm curious about? Let me say this. Noah Webster didn't come up with the English language. I don't even know the name of all the other ones that are out there. We look for the definition of something from a world's perspective. Can I say, if the author of language at the Tower of Babel, if we can't get the definition of it from the Bible, that it doesn't need to be defined? And so many times I'll just take a word and I'll start looking through the Bible on a computer program all the times it's mentioned and in the context of what it's mentioned. Or sometimes I just do a book study, and we've done many of them, whether it be Philemon or 1st, 2nd, 3rd John or whatever. Sometimes I'll do phrase studies. I don't know if I'm speaking to anybody else out here. Jacob mentioned one when he was going through Hebrews. There was a word. What was that word again? I'm trying to remember. No, it was a word that... always, or there was one phrase in there that you said you were going to show abound. These things be in you and abound. Now I can't remember. You had one word there, and I began when he was doing it, started underlining, and I said, "Oh wow, look at that." Can I just say this? The words that are placed in the Word of God are not there by happenstance. They're not there by coincidence. They're not a writer that sat around one day and said, I need to get 50,000 words, so I'm going to pull my thesaurus out and see how many I can put in there, how many adjectives I can use to describe a noun. I'm just going to set so many verbs and adverbs and all those kind of things. No, every word of God is placed there for a purpose. Study it. So sometimes it's phrases. Our Bible, it is a unique and amazing book. Let me say that again. It is a unique and amazing book. Let me just insert this here for clarity's sake. This looks like it's going to be a series. I see it already. Help me, Lord. I just look up at the time and say, where does it go? Let me just insert this here for clarity's sake and to add to what I've been saying for some time. The Bible is not just a book, but it is a living Word, capital W. In the beginning was the Word, capital W. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things that were made by Him, and not anything that was made without Him. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. Wow. Now the Jehovah Witnesses, the false ones, where are the real ones? They just changed that New World Translation. It says a word. No, He's the Word, definite article. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Verse 14, parenthetical phrasing with verse 1. And so let me just insert this for clarity's sake and add to what I've been saying for some time. The Bible is not just a book, but it is a living Word, a record as well left to us by a loving God. Everything He ever wanted to say to us is found within the pages of His Word. He's not only a loving God, He's a loving Savior. He came to save, seek and to save that which was lost. He's not only a loving God, a loving Savior, He's a loving helper. Whew, now He abides inside of me. He's a paracletes, the Greek's term was. He comes beside me. Boy, He's more than beside me. He's in me, both to will. These young people are not just doing this to do it. It's Thy word have I hid in thy heart that I might not sin against thee. It is His will to Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. For it is He that worketh in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. How does He do that? With the Word of God. The Holy Spirit abides within me, and He wills His will for me, and He works His pleasure in me to those that will submit. Just like He was saying to the nation of Israel going into the promised land. The Bible, it is multifaceted in such that it gives. Let me just share some of these, show my intelligence. I was talking to Douglas yesterday. Douglas, I found out yesterday, not trying to embarrass you, Douglas, he was the valedictorian of his graduating class. In my attempt to compete with that and brag a little bit, I said to Douglas, what is second from the bottom? I was 126 out of 127. No applause necessary. You're welcome. But when I got saved, salutatorian in my class. There's a transformation that takes place, isn't there? Amen. So I'm going to show you some of my education prowess. I was looking this up this week as I was meditating. The Bible is multifaceted in such that it gives biological authenticity. In the beginning, God. You look at chapter 1, chapter 2, some people say there's this big gap and that's where dinosaurs came from. Crippled, too high for crutches. Chapter 2 is just a reiteration and an explanation of chapter 1. God did this in six literal days. Peter said this, a day with the Lord is a thousand years is a day. There's been literally 6,000 some odd years and we're going to have a 1,000-year millennial reign. That's how God works. He works that way. We're fixing to have the 1,000-year millennial reign, but there will be a 7-year tribulation period in there. Do the math from the Bible. If you really get bored one day, go downstairs in this hallway and there's a timeline. Take your Bible and that timeline and you'll come up with a young earth, not an old earth. It gives biological authenticity. It gets better, man. My education comes right to the surface. Historical accuracy. You know, it's amazing. We'll believe all these other books. None of us have seen George Washington. We believe it. Why? Because of some historical accuracy that somebody wrote. But you ask about Jesus Christ and they think it's a farce. The Bible is biologically authentic. Historical accuracy. Here's another one. Geographical acuteness. You say, man, those maps and things in my Bible, they're not scriptural. Yeah, but I'm going to tell you what, try and dispute the accuracy of the geography in the Bible. Try and dispute the walls coming down in Jericho. Try and dispute that they still say there's a pillar of salt and some would say that it's Lot's wife. It's geographically what? Acute. Here's another one. This is a big word. Phenological adaptation. That is how the seasons adapt or things adapt to the seasons. Bears hibernate. We're a trichotomy, we're not a dichotomy. They're pre-programmed, we have free will. We're made after the image. Biological what? Accuracy? Let us make man in. God wasn't confused when He made us. The school system is. People are influenced by their parents because they watch too much TV, but the Bible's not. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God said to Jeremiah, He said, I knew you when you were in your mother's womb. So we have what? What do we have there? The sanctity of life. It's not just some ooze and flesh and everything else. Then we have familial arrangement. We get to know how the family works, don't we? Everything about it. Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Isn't that how it works? And then the other side says, well, seahorses procreate between themselves. And oh my goodness, come on. That is a person that doesn't know God. And the fool hath said in his heart, what? There is no God. I could keep going. I think by now y'all are impressed by the words I used. Can I be in the club? Can I be? We give honorary doctorates in colleges. Can I have an honorary valedictorian, Brother Douglas? Here's another one. We'll move on. The Bible, it gives spiritual alteration. If any man be in Christ, February 27, 1993, 2:40 a.m., front seat, not back seat, Douglas of the patrol car. I got saved. And me being I'm not only a physical being, I'm a spiritual being. I will live eternally. All dogs do not go to heaven. People will go to either heaven or hell. And Aaron stood with the censer pot, walking between the living and the dead as the watch, the earth. When he gave this promise, hey, you better be careful. This is what took place in the wilderness. But if you'll just listen to me, if you'll follow me, if you'll love me with all your heart, this is what I can do. Aaron's walking through there with a censer pot, begging God not to kill anybody else. And I often wondered why God said in Scripture that it'll wipe all of our tears away. There is a future great white throne of judgment where God will judge the dead. And we will be there. And we will watch people that we loved and cared for and worked with and lived beside and we never shared the good news be cast in the lake of fire. And tell me that's not going to bring a tear to your eyes. Tear to your eye when you see your child, your grandchild, your son, your daughter, your loved one, your parents be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And I could not imagine living in heaven the rest of my life knowing that my loved ones or friends went to hell. So God has a sovereign capability about Him, and you know what it is? He has the ability to not only forgive, and that's wonderful, but He has the ability, sovereign ability to forget. You say, oh my goodness, I'm not sovereign. I forget all kinds of things. You'll remember them every once in a while. We have the ability, God will wipe those tears out of our eyes, because could you imagine living in eternity knowing that? What a loving God. How He demonstrates Himself to us on a daily basis. Again, the Bible is a unique and amazing book. Everything we could ever need or know can be found within the pages of this wonderful book. It is heaven's love story. And it is heaven's love letter to mankind. It is not only informational, as I said before, but it is transformational. I've been in this for a couple of minutes. Experienced my fair share of life in general. Can I just say how overwhelming it is as a pastor to see so many, can I just use the term, broken homes? It's devastating nowadays. I look and see what's taking place and you see the absolute chaos. You can't put a child in a public school system and teach them that they evolved from apes where sooner or later they're not going to start acting like it. And the fact of the matter is, the problem wasn't evolution. The problem was an education. They didn't understand they have a Heavenly Father. And that Heavenly Father in heaven was not demonstrated physically in the home. And what it's done is it's turned people just absolutely into absolute chaos. Argue with me if you will, but the absence of a father in the home is one of the most devastating things on our society today. Which, if you just do a cursory research or study, it'll conclude that it is the absence of fathers in homes today. Which then helps me to conclude why our world is in such chaos as well. They do not know the Heavenly Father. The reason our world is so miserable is the absence of God the Father in their hearts. And therefore, not only did God send His Son to show us the Father, but He left us His own personal love letter to tell us of His love. Read it. You want to... I don't think anybody loves me. God does. Doesn't matter if anybody else does. God does. The psalmist said, when my mother and father forsake me, God will take me up. I've said the two greatest things God ever created was the home and the church. In the absence of a home, the provision of the church fills all the gaps. Having said that, now coming back to the phrase this week, I wasn't distracted. I was trying to lay a foundation. The phrase this week while reading this amazing book, I came across a phrase. Three times it is found in the New Testament. Twice it is found in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it is a direct reply to a question posed to Jesus in regards to a relationship. Many people asked Him about a relationship with God when He came. If you're really God, you're going to tell us how to have a relationship with Him. And then there's a reference to an Old Testament truth. He references, if you will. It's amazing to me when God was questioned, God in the flesh, He always referred to what? Scripture. Be good if we learned that technique. So anyone want to take a guess what it is? Matthew 22, I won't leave you guessing for long. Verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that He had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Verse 40. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked Him a question, tempting Him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, here it is, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And these two commandments hang all the law, all the Old Testament, everything in the Old Testament, He said. These two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And then in Mark chapter 12, we see in verse 28, And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, Which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's none other commandment greater than these. It's hard to say you love God and you don't love your neighbor. Do you see the problem we're having in society today? Luke chapter 10 and verse 25, lastly. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up, tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? And he's referring to Deuteronomy. What is written in the... And let me say this too. When the devil come to him in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, we see the first appearance... His M.O., if you will, modus operandi, police term. We see him in Genesis chapter what? 3. We see how he operates. New Testament, we see him in Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4. And Jesus responds to his inquiry, if you will, with what? Scripture. And he quotes to him out of Deuteronomy. Remember, we're trying to figure out how to make it in this promised land. Crossing the River Jordan doesn't mean getting into heaven, no matter what the gold city says and the singers that go down to Hartville Kitchen that sing unscriptural songs. Boy, that just took the wind out of everybody's sails when I make it to the other side. No, crossing the River Jordan is by faith, and it talks about it is a representative of the victorious Christian life. How can I survive in this world? That's what we're to do. And so he says, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. So I ask you this question, did you catch it? And it comes directly out of the Old Testament when the children of Israel were given the law again going into the promised land, and we read those passages, verses 26 through 31 in Deuteronomy. I won't read them again. That passage tells a big story and lays a foundation for the, can I just say the criteria? Is that okay to say that? It lays the foundation for the criteria of the relationship that He desires to have with you and I. Let me just pause for a second and just say this in case nobody knows this. I don't know what brought you here today. I hope it's a love for Jesus, whether you're a visitor or whatever. But I just want to say this as heaven's voice. God desires to have a personal, intimate, loving, caring, protective relationship with you. Who else in this world has ever even begun to promise you that and fulfill it? Now we see the need for fathers in our homes. Dad, coming up on Father's Day, you are a representative of heaven. You demonstrate to your children what the God the Father looks like, acts like, and cares. And so if you're here today, God is seeking you. Maybe you know Him personally already. He wants to know you more intimately. You know, if you have a wonderful relationship with your spouse, you get to a certain age and you can start finishing each other's sentences. There's some people who say they know God and have known Him for 20 years, can't even tell you the four Gospels. That's not too intimate. Wasn't God's fault. He provided them for us. It's our fault because we don't know them. The passage tells a big story, lays a foundation for the criteria of the relationship He desires to have with you and I. That phrase within that passage then led me to broaden. And the passage is, I don't know if I read it or anyone else caught it, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him, if you seek Him. For if thou seek Him with all thy heart. That phrase within that passage then led me to broaden my search of that phrase, which led to an interesting study, just by changing the pronoun, whether it's thy, thine, your, or my. You change that pronoun there, and it gives you a different aspect of what's expected, should I say, which led to an interesting study. Just by changing the pronoun, but not the intent, it becomes a very revealing study regarding, can I say, my heart? The heart, the Bible says, Jeremiah said this, the heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. Who can know it? That's why we have to hide His word in our heart. Can I just say this for the pious ones out there, the Pharisees of our church? You are capable of anything else that you see on TV that you think is heinous. All you have is ability and opportunity meet. I don't know what I'd act like if somebody did something to my children or my grandchildren. I don't know how I'd act. I'd love to be able to sit there at the stand and when they give the witness impact statements or what's the impact statements? I'd love to be able to just say, I forgive you. But I couldn't do it without God. And so it is personal. What do you do with your heart? Can I ask a fair question this morning before we go further? Big porch, big front porch today. And I say fair because of our setting. And that setting is church. We're not talking about this at Walmart. We're not talking about it at the game. We're not talking about it at work. We're talking about this is a setting. These are the things that we should discuss at church. So let me ask you a question. And in that setting, the Bible is our God, or our guide rather. As such, it is clear from reading and studying Scripture, God loves us. There's no doubt about that. Just a cursory search of Scripture and you start realizing, wow, whoever this is, man, He really loves. He's forgiving. He's caring. He's gracious. You conclude that. I don't care if you're a believer or not. The question I ask myself and I ask you this morning, how much do you love Him? It wasn't presumptuous of God to ask them before they went into the promised land that He provided for them to ask them. I don't think it's presumptuous for me. How much do you love Him? Someone would say, oh, he knows I love Him. Do that with your spouse. What was the old fellow said one time? His wife asked him, do you love me? Honey, I told you when I married you. See how far that goes. Derek, see how far that goes. Just tell her one time when she's asking years down the road, both of y'all have fell apart. And you're just a glimmer of what you used to be. Do you love me? I told you when I married you. Do I need to keep repeating myself? Again, a cursory search of Scripture, and it is easy to conclude the enormity of God's love towards us. It is exemplified in His actions. John 3:16, the famous verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So as I studied this out this week, I want to see what Scripture states regarding our love towards Him. Now obviously this will not be extensive. It's a big front porch. I'm going to let you just look in the rooms real quick and we'll move on. You go back and study this out yourself. There's obviously this will not be extensive, as I said. I could turn it into a series. I won't, because Scripture is full of references to God challenging our love for Him. He always is. Here are just a few. Seven times in Scripture you'll see this phrase, with all your heart. Just like it's stated, with all your heart. Seven times. I think that's interesting. It's seven. Five times you'll see this phrase, and we shared those earlier, with all thy heart. Same thing, King's English. Same thing basically, but it's coming. If you look at each one of those, each one gives a specific aspect in context. Then we see seven times, we're changing the pronoun again. God had a purpose for it. Everything in the Word of God is for a purpose. Seven times we see this phrase, with all thine heart. Well, all of them are the same. Your, thy, thine. One time in the Psalms, we see this, with all my heart. See, you can get in here today and you say, well, we love God. But the fact of the matter is, all of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne of judgment to give an account of ourselves. I don't want to blur in with everybody else. Listen, my grandkids, and I'm not trying to go above and beyond anybody else. My grandkids have a lot of grandparents. But you know what I want to do? I want them somewhere in the back of their mind. Man, my papa loved it. Man, his name is synonymous with who he is. He loves it. I just want that to stand out. And if God wants to do that for us, why is it that we don't want to do that for him? No, he's not a respecter of persons, but can he, you know, the grandkids would come to my office sometimes and they dive in, man. They're in there, behind the desk, everything, pulling drawers out, looking for the secret hiding spots. And I have to stop them sometimes. And I know they're just kids, but I'll ask them, are you just in here for the candy? Trying to teach them, hey, when you come in here, listen, you can get a whole lot more than candy if you just come in here and say, Papa, you are amazing. Papa, have I ever said this to you before? You probably have to be, now don't tell my other papas, you probably have to be the best one I've ever seen. I think we give more allegiance to the ones that have no eyes and can't see, have ears and cannot hear, have tongues and cannot talk. We give much more praise and glory to them than we do him. So the last one is personal with all my heart. If you will find in each of those God challenging the follower to demonstrate their love towards him. It won't be exhaustive this morning, but it ought to at least provoke us. I want to provoke you. I'll say this as well. I don't think it much of a question either. And I say that because there has been more than one time I've heard people say, this kills me when people do this, Pastor can't make us love God. I have literally heard people say that. Pastor can't, I don't know why he's trying to make us love God. He can't make us love God. No, I'm not. I'm just Chuck Woolery. I ought to at least put it on the table that God wants to love you. Can you at least show him that back? What marriage counselor wouldn't sit down and be an advocate, be a mediator between two in a couple and say, you know, as an unbiased person, I see in your relationship your husband really loves you. I was with a couple the other day and they were sharing a story and it just, man, it hit. And he said, man, my dad, what he went through is an angel. And I thought, wow. Now, if I was in that situation as a pastor trying to mediate that relationship between the two, I would make sure that that woman in that relationship understood the love that that man had for her in enduring that. And can I say this as a pastor, that Chuck Wooler, I know he's dead now, some of y'all don't even know who I'm talking about, the love connection. He sat on that show and he was trying to, can I just say my desire every time I come to the pulpit is to get you to love him longer, better, stronger. Let's look at him real quick. We'll be done. Preaching on this thought. Let's put a title to our text, or maybe should I say, let's put a title to our task. What's the task this morning? Here's the task. Having a heart for God. God challenges him before they go into the wilderness or before they go into the promised land. He said, this is what's going to happen to you, but if you'll seek me with all your heart, with all your heart, with all your heart, I'm going to demonstrate to you my love, care, concern, compassion, and protection of you. Isn't that where the psalmist said in Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty? Listen, the safest place you can be this morning, the safest place you can put your children this morning are in the wing, under the wings of a loving God that cares for you, provides for you, has died for you. Let's see what we can do for him. Number one, Deuteronomy 4:29 tells us the first aspect, if you will, or the way that we demonstrate to God that we love him the Song of Solomon says, I am my beloved's and his desire is towards me. She failed when he came to the door, right? Revelation tells us, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, there's no door handle on it. It's for us to do. You say, oh, I just don't feel close to God. That's not his problem. That's your problem. You're as close to God today. You are as intimate in a relationship with him today as you choose to be, not because he's not choosing to be closer. The first way to have a heart for God is to seek him. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I'll hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me. When? When ye shall search for me with all your heart. Psalm 119 and verse 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Having a heart for God. You know what having a heart means? It means seeking him. Searching him out. Where is he? Where can he be found? There's enough in this world to discourage us. I literally am not saying to say what I say when I say I'm looking for God. On the days when I am struggling, I'm looking for him, man. I'm trying to find him. Because I'm going to tell you what, this world is spinning out of control. And the only thing that's going to keep me balanced is finding where God loves me. And then when I do, I'm seeking him. God, show me. That woman, she'd sought all, she'd spent all, she'd done all. She was looking, she was coming through the press. 18 years, I think, she had that issue. And the disciples, and Jesus said, who touched me? I perceive that virtue has come out of me. And they're going, man, this guy's lost his mind. Everybody's pressing on him. Everybody's, listen, everyone in here today can look like you've come to church to love God. But it's the one that touches him, seeks him, gets close to him. It doesn't mean going to an altar. I'm inviting you to one. It's a way of standing out, if you will. But you can seek him in your seat. I implore you to try the other areas. But he perceived that virtue had come out. She, in the midst of everything, touched him, got close to him. Wanted an intimacy with him. You know what provoked me in that area sometimes? Watching other people when I first got in church. And I'd sit there and say, man, that person. It isn't just loving God at church, man. It's loving people elsewhere. All these things are what? Hinge on the what? The law and the prophets. How we know how God loves us, but how does God know we love him? Having a heart for God means seeking him. When the children of Israel were going into the promised land and God gave them the law again, he placed a clarifier before them. It would allow them to demonstrate to him their love for him after he demonstrated his love to them. If Scripture tells us that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost, and we then that are saved realize that God sought us out to save us, then are we reciprocating that search for him? Proverbs 8 and verse 17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. I'll give you a little story, a little sentimental. I was a Lone Ranger as a young man. Didn't want to be around anybody. I made it myself. I'm going to get there myself. Did my thing, had my little Trans Am. My Burt Reynolds Trans Am 6.6 with the big old Phoenix on the front. Libby, come along. Was I sharing that with you guys the other day that she proposed to me? Rather than me proposing to her, she debates that all the time. And I gave in. And you know why I gave in? Don't weep for me. She was demonstrating a love to me that I had never seen before. She wanted to be around me. 3 months. We dated 3 months and got married. 3 months. Saw each other every day for 3 months. Got married. Been married 38 years now. You know what she taught me? I had another woman propose to me. And I said, no. Man, this guy is full of himself, ain't he? I was just who I was. She proposed to me, and I said, no. This is what I said to her. I said, if I can't love me, I'll never be able to love you. Libby pestered me about that many times. But I got to meet her. But you know what it caused me to do? Because she loved me like that, it caused me to dive in and love her. Some of us have never understood real biblical love. Can I tell you to taste and see the Lord is good? I'm going to tell you what, when you'll dive into His love and give Him back as much, it is unlimited. Give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, men give unto your bosoms. You can never outgive God's love. Some days just wake up and just say, God, I just want to love you today. Just want to tell you how much. Hey, how about this for Father's Day? I've done this many a times. Sat down and just had a Father's Day celebration with the greatest dad I ever had in my entire life. Jesus referred to him as what? Abba, Father. And they were incensed by it. He was talking about the relationship that he had with his Father. Do you have the same? You can if you seek Him with all your heart. What in the world is that? Somebody calling me? Number two, isn't that the way the devil works? Number two, let me ask you this and we'll move on. Series. If I were to watch you or you me, could it be said of either of us by others that he or she truly seeks the Lord? Or let me go further. If we could ask God this morning, does so-and-so seek you? What would be his answer? Next, I'll give you these. You study them out so I can keep conscious of the time. I just want to provoke you this morning. Having a heart for God means you will seek him. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12 through 15 tells us this. Now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Can I just say that God expects us to serve him? A loving relationship does not just flow one way, it flows both ways. Think of this in your own relationships. We love to be the one that is loved, but how do we think the other person feels in a relationship when it is not reciprocated? Paul, a missionary pastor, understood this and stated to the church at Corinth, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. He says, I'll do whatever it needs to do for you, the church at Corinth. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. I've been in this for a minute. It is amazing how many times I've heard people defend their actions in church from not serving. Service is one of the greatest ways to demonstrate love, affection, and care for one another. Jesus girded himself about and what? Washed their feet. Every week in this church, 3 times a week, your pastor takes a girdle. The Word of God, which is the water, and washes your feet. That's a demonstration of love. Don't ever say when you go to a strong, biblically sound church that your pastor doesn't love you. If he preaches the Word of God to wash the dirt off your feet that comes in contact with the world, he is telling you how much he loves you. Let me ask you this question. We'll move on to the last two. What area of service are you doing for the Lord? I could deep dive into all this and drive a point home, but I'm going to trust that you'll be honest enough with yourself and God so that it isn't needed. Douglas hadn't even joined yet. Don't let this go to your head. He's up in the choir. Well, that's easy. Why ain't you up there? You know what he was doing? He was demonstrating his love. Number three, having a heart for God means you'll seek him. Having a heart for God means you'll what? Serve him. Having a heart for God, chapter 86 of Psalms, means you'll sing to him. Singing to God is a demonstration of love? Oh, yes. I don't think they were a thing, but do you remember what was his name? Know when to hold him, know when to fold him. Kenny Rogers, and what was her name? Dolly Parton. And they sang their little song, their little duet. You can I just say to you, you can love God in singing and worship and adoration. That's why sometimes you may say I'm sarcastic, but I'm sitting here saying, listen to the words of these songs and the truth that's being stated, and we have an opportunity to articulate that to a loving God, and we don't. There's these little reels out there now, and somebody will get somebody to do a song for them about when they met. Has anybody ever seen those reels? And they'll be driving down the road. And I'm trying to figure out why she doesn't realize the phone's staring her in the face when the song's on the radio. And all of a sudden they'll start singing the song and the song will go along with, Mama, I didn't do one of them because I couldn't come up with a tune that matched Kathmandu's. That's an illustration for a different day. Buddy probably knows anyways. And all of a sudden she starts hearing that song and she looks over at him and gets that little look in her face. I wonder how God feels when I just come to church and I don't get involved in hymns. I don't really take too much, can I use the word pride in singing? I don't sit there and say, see, we think sometimes we're trying to impress somebody else. The Bible says we're just to make a joyful, and some of y'all do it well. God hears it. God hears it differently than you may. But He just wants to what? Hear it. I will praise Thee, O Lord my God. How are you going to do that, He says? With all my heart. And I will glorify Thy name forevermore. Sometimes I'll do this. Anybody ever seen me do this in services? I'm looking at this. You know what I'm trying to do? Man, if that did something for me, maybe it'd be doing something for, maybe it'd be doing public school. Maybe it would do something for somebody else to draw you closer. Maybe you'll just hear something in it and you'll say, wow, He does love me. Sing. David said this, Psalm 111, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. Where? In the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Psalm 138:1, I will praise Thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto Thee. Little g. I will worship toward Thy holy temple and praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness and for Thy truth. Again, I could deep dive into each of these ways of loving God with our heart, but I'll let the Scriptures speak for themselves. Let me give you this last one and we're done. I will ask this though and move on. What does singing look like for you? Is it just a routine for church that I don't put much emphasis into? Or is it your way of singing to God of your love for Him? These young kids, man. I don't like what they do. It's too loud. It rings in my ears and everything else. I wonder what it sounds like to God. I wonder when we're sitting there and He's saying, sold! Is that the words we say? Is it sold? What's the other one? Praise God. I wonder what He thinks. And here's the thing about it. They can do it. And then we sit there sometimes. We should be the example to them, not them to us. These little kids should be looking at us going, man, what's he getting all excited about? What's he all worked up over? I'm not trying. I was going to say I'm trying to be a Browns fan. I'm not. I understand it. I get it. I don't know what y'all are excited about if you follow them. I don't. But man, if I come into church and somebody gets happy, oh, clap your hands, all you people. Lift up holy hands. All that. Man, you start seeing somebody do that, I say, wow. You ever got around somebody that laughs and you laugh? You ever get around somebody that cries and you cry? Some of you older people need to worship. You many toils, dangers, snares, I have already come. Stand up and let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I mean, just lift up holy hands in a service. Well, Pastor, you ain't doing it. No, I just sit here and weep. I just weep. I can't believe I'm in this thing. I can't believe I get to do what I get to do. Having a heart for God means I'll seek Him, I'll serve Him, I'll sing to Him. Deuteronomy 31 through 16, read it later on. I'll at least read this, though. I got to read this. What did I say, 30? I got to give you the verse. I don't want to just say read it later on. Deuteronomy 30. What a wonderful chapter. 30. And it shall come to pass, this is God's mercy towards Israel as He's sending them out. And it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I've said before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shalt, look at this word, return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey His voice according to all that I commanded thee this day, thou and thy children with all thine heart and with all thy soul. You read that later on. What's the last one, having a heart for God? I need to seek Him. I hope you've sought Him today. God, how can I be closer to You? Lord, I'm sorry I failed You this week. I've gotten so preoccupied with the gods of this promised land. They have eyes and they cannot see. They have ears and they cannot hear. They have hands and they cannot touch. And God, You have all those things, and I've sought them this week more than I've sought You. Or maybe it's serve. There's a place where you can serve. Listen, it doesn't necessarily have to be a Sunday school teacher, but there ought to be a place of service. And then there's singing. We ought to sing. I told Jacob Cook, I said, listen, ladies, please don't take this the wrong way. Y'all have angelic voices, honestly. I love some of the singing you have. But can we please have some men in this church that do specials? Can we have some men at the church that sit down at a piano? Can we have some men that stand up and demonstrate to us what it's like to lead the way in singing? And lift up our voice and declare that we love and worship God. No, it's too many other people leading the way for that. He says, I'm in the process. I'm going to make it happen. We're to submit to Him. Return. He sought you. He's done everything for you. Now this is all He's asking. Seek Me. Sing. Sing to Me. You say, man, he's kind of caught up in himself, isn't he? Yeah, he is. I think he said, I'm the Lord thy God. I'm jealous. I'm a jealous God. He even said, I don't want to have any other gods before Me. If I've done all this for you, listen, how many parents have said, look at all I've done for you. And then you just, it's like, how many older people raise your kids, change your diapers, do all that kind of stuff, and then all of a sudden, listen, if nothing else, poor illustration maybe, Jean wasn't the greatest woman in the world. My mom wasn't either. But I do know this. She put a roof over Libby's head. She put diapers on her bottom. She fed her and clothed her in a very difficult situation. She deserves to have a love to her in the tail end. And she was given that. You say, what's that got to do with anything? If He's done all that for us, is it too hard for us to just seek Him? Sing, come to church ready to sing. Man, I mean, we have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Preacher, you're asking too much. Am I? Your job asks you to work overtime. You'll do it in a drop of a hat. God asks you to just sing to Him, and all of a sudden you get all bent out of shape. You don't get mad at God. You get mad at the preacher. What's it? He makes it seem like he's demanding we love God. No, I'm not. I'm declaring. The demand is God's. I'm just declaring what He demands. Seek, serve, sing, submit, return. Maybe you've gotten out in the promised land and things ain't went like you thought. Can I just challenge you with something? Return. Just return. Start over again. Just say, you know, I'm going to listen to what the preacher said today. He said if I do it, it'd happen. It ain't because I said it. It's because He declared it. He said, you get out there, this is what's going to happen. You'll get consumed. You'll get overtaken. They're going to destroy you. They're going to overtake you. But he said, if you'll just return and seek me and love me, he says, I'll take care of you. You need taken care of today? Then can I say this? Give him your heart. Listen, sometimes we'll do this just out of duty. Can I offer you up today to just, God, do with it what you need to. Just do with it what you need to. God, give me your heart. How can God give us his heart and we just can't give him a portion back? Father, we'd ask you to help us this morning. Lord, I'm sorry. Help me. Help me this morning to give you my heart. And Lord, while you're doing that, would you help the others in here? It is a difficult thing. I will not make light of it. There are so many shiny objects. There are so many little distractions in this world. There's so many little opportunities to take a bite out of the forbidden fruit. And yet, Lord, in the last declaration you said, before Deuteronomy closes out, just return. If you get off course, just return. And return to me with all your heart. And Lord, we declare that. We ask that today. Help us, I plead, during the invitation. If there's somebody in here who doesn't know you as Savior, I pray, Lord, they'd come and give you their heart. What a wonderful thing for Declan. What a wonderful thing for Wesley. And Lord, if they'll continue to give you that heart through their life, they won't have any problems. It's when that heart wanders, as the songwriter said, prone to wander. So help us, I plead. Someone in here doesn't know you, I pray they'd come to you today with their heart. And if somebody does know you and has understood the free pardon of sin, I pray they'd return today. That we can see it. That today's message, even in my life, will declare a demonstration of, man, what's happened to preacher? He just seems like he's fallen more intimately in love with Christ. And so I ask you that today, this morning. Please, Lord, you've done your part. Help us to do ours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. God spoke into your heart.